This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, welcome to a Friday edition of Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. No Jones. So distraught about the Team USA loss last night in the Four Nations to Canada. He has taken the day off to recover. Travis Thomas from Nesson is in.
Yeah.
Travis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. It's an honor to be here. I'm a big fan of the show.
Great.
So
great to have you.
I got to bring my hot takes today, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sitting in this seat.
That's a hot seat to be in.
This is a hot seat. As soon as I sat down, I started sweating. I said, oh, my God, the hot takes are flowing.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I know.
Big shoes to fill. I think people are going to be thrilled that it's somebody other than Jones for today. But what did you make of the Four Nations game last night? I'd say we talk about the Four Nations sort of in its entirety, where they kind of go from here, but just the game itself, unfortunate result, but what a game.
It was. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't as patriotic
what the hell?
As I should have been.
You weren't wearing a flag like Jones yesterday?
I was wearing a flag.
No?
I was.
Okay.
But, confession, I bet on Canada.
You won.
So
you
it was like bet. It was like
won.
An emotional hedge,
yeah,
right? It's an emotional hedge.
Smart.
I'm rooting for USA.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what I was thinking with the thought process of betting on Canada.
You wanted to win money.
Well, yes. But also, that's a hell of a team to beat twice.
True.
And I also felt like that blueprint could only go but so far in the second game. The first game, you pushed them around, you bullied them, you punched them in the mouth, mm-hmm. right? And it
yep.
worked.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. Yep.
Second game, it's going to be tough to do that.
Yeah.
I thought the U.S. did a good job of being physical, but Canada's got so many great players in Bennington and TD Garden. I don't
awful.
Even want to go.
McDonough kept bringing it up last night, too, and I was like, I know what you're doing, but please.
It's just.
I know. We
it's
remember.
Brutal.
He
it's
was,
brutal.
I still don't understand how good he is, and they kept saying on the broadcast, too, they're like, well, the book on Bennington is he'll give up an easy one,
yes.
but then he'll like stand on his head
yes.
another time. So, yeah, he was great, and then you just. You know, Connor McDavid's kind of just left alone there. And, I mean, it's the best player in the world. He's going to finish that. But also, you know, one of the big stories of this whole tournament has been the guys that have been hurt, clearly here with McAvoy, but
That's
also
right.
in the game, Matthew Tkachuk
yeah.
plays like 6 minutes, and then he's just kind of stuck on the bench. You can only imagine how hurt he was.
That's right.
So they weren't even at full strength. But that's where this tournament has sort of got a lot of people talking. It's like, it's not just the excitement of the tournament, but it's now, how does this impact the rest of the NHL season?
Yeah.
And I love it. So, like, did you like the tournament, or
I loved
do you
it.
Think it's okay?
Yeah, I loved it. I actually thought, juxtaposed to the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Well, yeah,
it really showed how great this tournament was
mm-hmm.
because the NBA can't get out of its own way when it comes to All-Star yeah, Weekend,
right.
and you have something like this where these players. How about Marchand out there having the time of his life?
Oh, he's like, never looked happier. He's never looked
right?
happier. Yeah,
I have not seen that dude that happy, maybe ever.
Yeah,
so. It's just, I think these guys obviously care. There's buy-in. It's going to cost some teams, even the Bruins here a little bit, as we start the second half of the season, no doubt. But that's a cost of doing business. You want these guys to care. You want them engaged.
So I agree with that. Like, I like the tournament. I'm glad that they had the tournament. And, you know, the games were great. It was also a bit of a perfect storm.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, you have U.S. versus Canada having an unbelievable first game, and then they also got the finals.
Right.
If it was Sweden-Finland last night,
right.
People aren't spending $2,000 to get in. That's We're not right. talking about it to start the show. Even if it was U.S.-Finland, it'd be cool. We'd be excited about it because, yeah, USA's in it. But it was the perfect storm. They also didn't have NHL players the last two Olympics.
Yeah.
So we haven't had a chance to see really best on best in 10 years or
That's
more.
Right. That's right.
So the fact that they're going to run it right back next year in the Olympics, I am excited about the Olympics, but you can't do this every year. I know McDavid even said something like that. Like, hey, we're into it. We want to play. You got guys playing hurt.
Yeah.
But it's also smack dab in the middle of an NHL season. You can't do this every year.
Yeah. Can we talk about the city for a second,
sure.
though? I mean, there were people, my coworkers at Nesson were going down to the Greatest to watch a game and just, I mean, the atmosphere of the city, obviously TD Garden's TD Garden, but even outside of that, it's just such, listen, as an outsider, someone who came from that Washington, D.C., Baltimore region, everyone told me it's a baseball town, it's a hockey town, it's a sports town, but baseball and hockey, you'll see when you get there, it's different. Mm-hmm. And I've been here now 3 years, and I mean, even there were cutaways last night during the game.
Oh, yes.
Of the Greatest.
And people,
I mean, it's just, I love how this city turns up for big events in sports.
Definitely.
Especially hockey. It's fantastic.
Well, and that's why, again, I don't know if next time you do the Four Nations or next time you do the World Cup or whatever, are you going to have Montreal and Boston as the host cities? Because that's also like next, that makes it next level.
That's a good point.
So if you put it somewhere else, probably not as good. Like there are other good hockey towns, Boston right there at the top, though. And so it was really just like a perfect series of events to make this tournament what it was. And now you got to deal with the after effects where I think fans are thrilled we got to see this. But it was funny, even during the game last night, I think it was Emily Kaplan, the rinkside reporter, was saying, just sort of like off the cuff, she's like, well, I don't know how many of these guys are going to be playing on Saturday for their NHL teams. Like, you're like, wow. So like, not only do you do this little 2 week break, but now guys are going to need time off. I mean, McAvoy's going to need probably a lot of time.
Yeah.
Matt Tkachuk's probably going to need a lot of time. But even like Brady Tkachuk was playing banged up. Like all these guys are playing kind of hurt. And then that leads to these NHL teams being like, is this really the best for us? Like, so are we happy with this?
How do you fix that? Is a break longer? Like, after the Four Nations is over, do you take a week? Do you lose momentum for the NHL season?
Yeah, so that you probably can't do, right? Because guys like David Pastrnak have just been sitting there for 2 weeks not playing.
Right.
So what I would do is, all right, the Olympics are in 2026. So every 4 years, you let your guys play in the Olympics. And then if you want to do, like, one other tournament like this, you stagger it and you do it, like, in the even years.
Yeah.
You just can't do it every single year. Plus, the excitement won't be there.
Right.
Like, if U.S. plays Canada every single year, do you think the atmosphere in the places will be like it last night? Do you think the ticket will be like last night? Do you think whatever the TV audience will be like last night? Like, no chance.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen, I mean, I don't remember ever seeing, you know, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, like, face off with all the guys from Team USA versus Team Canada. We haven't seen that.
Right.
But if it becomes kind of a regular thing, plus the NHL at some point is going to say, are we really getting, like, bang for the buck here? Like, we're paying these guys $9-10 million and then they get hurt in this tournament.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, like, is there going to be a huge bump in NHL ratings going forward? Like, I don't really think so.
I'll be honest, I don't know how I can go back to NHL.
No, good point.
Like, this was hockey at such a high level.
Yeah.
Even let's take the game last night. I mean, think about it. You had McKinnon score a goal and then you had McDavid in the overtime.
Yep.
It's like two of your biggest stars. Biggest moment, biggest stage. Mm-hmm. Tkachuk's obviously doing their thing, but it's just like, I don't know how I go back. It's going to take me a minute to get back in NHL mode after watching this.
And the players, too, the way they talked about it, like, they don't feel the same way about their NHL teams. And I mean, I get it. You know, not all those guys are on real true contending teams.
Yes.
But also just like playing for your country is a whole different thing. You know, like there's more pride associated there than playing for your NHL team.
I tell you, when I learned this as a broadcaster, when I was covering the Capitals back in the day, they would always get bounced in the first round before they finally broke through and got the cup for Ovi, right?
Yep, yep.
But they would get bounced in the first, second round always. I think the Bruins knocked them out 1 year.
Yep.
But they would get bounced. They'd have all these expectations. They get bounced. And then most of the players would go back to their country and play in some tournaments or whatever. And we in the media would be like, how are you not distraught? Like, they catch the red eye first thing out,
they're like,
and they're
going to
play
in the Olympics.
Yes.
Like, we're ready to go.
They're on the ice the next day for their country. And that's when I kind of learned, well, this NHL, the Stanley Cup means a lot to us, but not necessarily the same to everybody.
It is going to be an adjustment to watch. Is it Saturday or Sunday the Bruins play the Ducks? And it's going to be what a drop off in intensity it's going to be. And so, like, for as many good things that came with this tournament, there is going to be sort of that shock on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm sure most of the guys that played last night, they might give them the day off, right? I mean, even if they weren't hurt, I bet some of the coaches are like, all right, we still got...
They should.
You know, this final push into the playoffs. Trade deadline's coming up on March 7th. We'll get into the Bruins offseason coming up in a little bit, or second half, I should say, coming up. Overall, though, even with the injuries and everything, would you say this tournament was a success?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Not even close. Yeah. I can't wait for the next one, to be honest.
Yeah. But do you agree with me that if you did it every year, it would lose the luster, or would you try?
Okay. I do.
Yeah,
I do. I think that I liked your game plan, actually. I think
every 2
works.
Years is like enough where like you get it, but it's also like you're looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, the World Cups, Olympics, things like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'll add this, too. I think sometimes we as fans just think video game, and we don't realize these guys are human beings who their bodies do need to rest. And this is a physical sport. They don't talk about injuries. You don't know what guys are playing through and dealing with.
You
got to give, you know, these guys some time off, too.
Yeah, because you look at somebody like, you know, Matt Tkachuk, who goes on this long run in the playoffs, right? Like this deep, long run, then comes right back for the next season. So a much shorter offseason than most.
Yep.
And then it's like, hey, here's a 2-week All-Star break where you're actually going to play, what, 4 of the most intense games of the entire season. You got to, like, ramp it up for that.
That's right.
These guys are all playing hurt. And we'll see where it goes. And, you know, we talked about this a lot yesterday, just how upset the Bruins are with how Charlie McAvoy was handled. And now McAvoy could be out a while. They showed that clip of him inside the locker room, giving out the dressing room, giving out, like, the lineup for the day. He's got, like, the sling on. Oh, like, man. I don't know when we're going to see him again.
Yeah, hockey dudes are different, though, man.
True.
I always tell this story. You remember when Taylor Hall was here with the Bruins?
Yeah.
I saw him out at a St. Patrick's Day party on St. Patrick's Day, right?
Nice.
And it was him and Foligno together. So anyway, he's like, it was right after an injury. I think his knee.
Okay.
He gets up to use the bathroom. I introduced myself. We're talking. We're chopping it up. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up to use the bathroom, and he is walking like a grandfather, like limping.
Limp. Yeah.
I'm like, oh. He comes back, and I'm talking. I'm like, man, it's too bad you got hurt. You were having a great season, man. You know, he's like, oh, I'll be back in a couple days.
Like, you can't even walk to the bathroom.
I didn't say anything,
No.
But I'm like, there's no shot. Sure enough.
He was back,
scoring goals.
These guys
are different breeds of cats.
That's why last night, every time they showed Matthew Tkachuk sitting on the bench, you're like, this guy must be real hurt.
Yes.
Like, if he was able to go out there for a little bit, but then have to pull the plug on it.
Oh,
so you have teams like, you know, Florida trying to make another run. They might be without him. The Bruins are trying to make the playoffs. They might be without McAvoy. Who knows the extent of, like, Brady Tkachuk, as the Senators are trying to finally get back into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys, like, top to bottom are banged up. It's pretty crazy. Your thoughts on the Four Nations, 617-779-7937. Travis and I both think it was a success, although it doesn't mean the NHL teams are going to be thrilled with everything that happened. Let's go to the phones now. We got Mark in Medford. What do you got, Mark?
Yeah, I got a question on this. I loved the tournament. It was great. It was like watching a video game at times. But my question is this. The players that got hurt in this tournament, and I know it was an NHL-only tournament, are the clubs that they play for in the NHL obligated to fulfill their contracts and pay them by getting hurt in a non-NHL game?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would say yes. Like, I haven't heard anything to the contrary that they won't get paid for it. Yeah, it is an NHL tournament. Oh, speaking of, it sounds like it was the NHL that was in charge of the national anthems last night. And so that's why, like, Todd Angeli didn't get to do both anthems.
Oh.
So they had this lady do the O Canada, which, what a mess.
Oh.
Did you tune in early enough?
No.
Disaster.
Really?
Disaster. She was so bad. Everybody was tuning in to see if they would boo. And there was, I don't know, like a couple boos early, and then it wasn't really booing, but like everybody was like taken back about how awful she was.
Wow,
like, she was just really, really bad at the Oh Canada anthem.
See, NHL, just stay out of the way, man. Let the Bruins handle this. TD Garden's got it under control.
Leave
relax.
It alone. All right, if you want to talk about the Four Nations or the Bruins second half, feel free at 617-779-7937. We're off and running here on our Friday show. Jones is off, so Travis Thomas is in. It's Jones and Keefe. Right now, here is Billy Lanning with what?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? Back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. Jones is off. Travis Thomas is in. And so last night, leading up to the U.S.-Canada match, ESPN has this like whole, pre-hype video thing. And it involves that the extended clip of that, you know, Kurt Russell in Miracle. I didn't love that.
It was a little much for me
because so they literally said, Al Michaels famously, 1980, do you believe in miracles? Because a group of college kids defeated pros from the Soviet Union. That was like Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
They used that same thing for Team USA, who just beat Canada a week ago. They were slight favorites in the game. They were slight favorites on the money line.
Don't I know it?
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, that was a good bet by you. That was a good bet. But was that like a bit much? Like I love that on its own. I love the four. I love the tournament on its own. But like blending the two together, I'm like, this isn't this huge uphill climb.
No.
You have Austin Matthews, who has probably scored more goals last year than everybody on that 1980 team in the NHL for their careers combined.
Didn't do much in the game last night.
No, he did not. No, he did not. He got robbed a couple times.
Yeah.
But Bennington. I still don't understand
how good this building is.
Should they trade for him and play all his home games here?
Why not? Are you not trying to make a playoff push?
That's what they should do.
Go get him. He is untouchable in TD Garden.
Speaking of trades, I saw John Buchegras last night on Twitter said that the Bruins need to get Brady Tkachuk.
Oh.
And I was like, yes, they do.
I need that.
Yes, they do. I don't know how they do it. I don't know why Ottawa would ever get rid of him. But whatever you could possibly do to get that guy here, I am in favor of.
I need that guy.
Would he be everybody's favorite Bruin of all?
He's a perfect Bruin. Him and his brother both.
Well, they would be.
Some bad blood with their brother in history. But
no bad blood, though, with Brady yet.
No.
Brady, and he's young. The way he plays, he would be... And I know I get swept up in the Team USA stuff. Hell, I was excited when the Bruins got David Backes, and that ended up backfiring just because he was really good for Team USA and all that stuff. But watching him last night, watching him, you know, when he does play, when you see Ottawa play, he legitimately would be the perfect Bruin.
I mean, he's everything.
Yeah.
He can do everything, all-around hockey player, tough as nails,
it's great.
Will beat your ass. He's got everything.
But you would need him... Hockey players don't normally like demand out of places. Like you would need him to demand out. Like, it would make no sense for Ottawa to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But you need to explore that at least.
Yeah, he'd have to pull an NBA move, right?
Yeah.
Like, he'd have to pull a Jimmy Butler. But get me out of here.
Don't you want to get out of there? I also thought that was odd watching, not odd, but kind of funny when you're watching the game how, like, Austin Matthews, Brady Kachuk, two of the best players for Team USA, play for Canadian teams.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the best Canadians, like Nathan MacKinnon, plays for Colorado. And it's like, so it's weird, like, allegiances. Even in the building last night, you have most of the fans rooting against Brad Marchand's team.
Right.
So it's like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's kind of
weird.
All right, let's go to the phones. You want to talk about the Four Nations or the Bruins here in the second half? 617-779-7937. We got Sorja in Mansfield. What's going on, Sorja?
Hey, what's going on, guys, today? Happy Friday.
Yes.
Really quick here, guys. I mean, first you got to give a lot of credit to the NHL with the Four Nations. I think most people were skeptical, but, I mean, what a result. And I think it's just going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I was getting a lot of PTSD from Binnington in that third period from 2019. I mean, it was, oh, my God. But I really want to see if we're going to get, like, sad Marchand, glad Marchand, bad Marchand, and McAvoy, and see how these guys respond after the Four Nations, because it seems like they weren't playing with this fire all season. And really quick here, you know, maybe some of these guys can do some recruiting and maybe they can kind of trade. And maybe you see that some of the guys, they play at the Garden, they see the energy, and maybe the Bruins kind of make some moves. But now the Bruins really need to make the decision if they want to be buyers or sellers coming up on the March 7th deadline.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Georgia. And I think the decision, sellers. I would have said sellers even before McAvoy got hurt. Now we don't even know when McAvoy is going to return.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of make the decision a lot easier for them?
I see both sides to the coin here. Obviously, the selling kind of speaks for itself. If you just think this team isn't going to make the wild card, it seems like with every passing day, they fall further and further behind.
I was going to say, right now, they are...
Sens and Red Wings right now have the last two.
So they have 60 points, and they're tied with Columbus. But they've also played more games than everybody.
Right.
So at some point, teams like Ottawa, Detroit, Tampa, Jersey are going to start playing more games. And evening out the games, I should say, and then have a chance to really kind of widen it. Like, if you go on point percentage, they're like 10th or 11th. So I don't think they're a playoff team. And Sorja mentions the recruiting angle. I could actually see it going the other way, where like Nathan MacKinnon and Cale McCarr are talking to Brad Marchand.
Guys.
They're
like,
hey, Brad, like, would you waive your no trade clause or whatever? Like, would you come to Colorado? And he's probably like, yeah, maybe I would. I could see Brad Marchand going to a Western Conference team and you know, he's not signed for next year.
Well,
he might be the only guy you could actually get something for. So I know that'd be kind of admitting that, like, you're done for this year, but I think that's the best path for this team to be better sooner.
Well, when I say the flip side to the coin, they are not out of it by any stretch. And so if you do believe they can turn this around in the second half, even maybe without McAvoy, we'll see what happens, obviously, then you should be buyers, and you should try to go get something that can help you get there. You know, I see both sides of the coin, but my gut says they're going to be sellers.
I think so. I mean, Neely said it a couple of weeks ago at whatever that event was, where he's like, oh, we might have to retool. And we'll see how it goes. And that was a couple of weeks ago, and they've been kind of treading water. They lost their last two games going into this extended break.
Yeah.
They're going to have seven games prior to, I believe it's March 7th, which is the trade deadline.
Yep.
And I don't know, you're going to put everything down on these seven games? Or, like, haven't you seen, 57 games of this team? They don't look right. Like, David Pastrnak has been insane for a month and a half, and you're still out of the playoffs.
Right.
So, like, if he cools off, I don't even know how you're going to score goals or how you're going to do anything. And I know it'll be tough to trade a guy like Marchand, who's been on the team forever and has had some incredible moments, is one of the best players in franchise history. But if you don't, and, like, if you add to this team, and then what? Like, you get bounced in the first round. Maybe you make the playoffs?
Well, that would be the win. Right?
Just getting in?
Yes. With the season they've had, it's like, okay, let's make some moves at the deadline to add to this to get into the postseason. Mm-hmm. If you're able to do it, that's the win.
The issue is
that's not the standard here with the Bruins.
They
right?
also have a terrible, like, minor league system.
Right.
Right. They don't have a lot of young, like, up-and-coming prospects. And if you keep trading away first-round picks to try to be a buyer or at least try to make the playoffs, where it's like 2 years ago, they were the best team in the regular season. So, yeah, you buy on that team, and that's you're trying to win the cup. Even last year, they took a little step backwards as far as regular season success, but they were good, and, like, there was a team that you should be buying for. Like, I just, I would not. I would move on.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, you mentioned those next six or seven games.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just looking at the schedule here.
What do you got?
It's a soft schedule. There's some Ducks in there. There's some Preds in there. Some Pens in there.
All right.
I mean, some of these are winnable games. So if you are, because I agree with you. We've seen a large enough sample size now.
Right.
You should already have your damn mind made up. Are we buying? Are we selling? But if you are predicating it on these next six or seven, there are some softer games in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to win those, maybe
it
could convince them, all right, let's try to add a piece or two and go for this.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We got Scott in Abington. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Last night, I see why it was on full display why Toronto has not won anything. Auston Matthews, that play, I don't know how on that faceoff, he let him take a shot off the faceoff, and then he let him sit there all alone. And I've been fighting with my friends. I blame it on him. Do you guys think it's his fault or no?
No.
I don't know if it's entirely on Auston Matthews. It is funny, though, that overtime period, McDonough was all over it, how it started to get like a little bit like looser. Like,
yeah.
There were a lot of chances on both sides, mm-hmm. and it seemed like everybody was exhausted. That's what it kind of felt like, and which makes sense. I mean, the intensity was so high for so long.
That's right.
And then it seemed like it just wasn't as sharp, wasn't as buttoned up all the way around. So I don't know if I'm putting all that on Auston Matthews.
I'm not.
Well, it was pretty funny. Auston Matthews did compare it to a Game 7 before the game.
Yeah, I know.
Game
like,
7 he's played in.
Well, we even mentioned it last night or yesterday. We were like, does Auston Matthews' like playoffs versus like Matt Tkachuk's playoffs, do they cancel each other out? But unfortunately, Matt Tkachuk was like pinned to the bench because he was hurt.
Right, and Matthews was playing hurt too. I think that's we need to be fair and bring that up. A lot of guys were. Matthews was one of them.
He was a big part of that Sanderson goal, though, too.
Yes,
like he was involved
right.
in that.
And I'll also say this, too, about the Leafs. They were choking long before Matthews
Good
got
point.
There. They
Good
will
point.
Choke long after Matthews leaves.
Yeah.
It's not him.
Yeah.
Maybe
he
if
actually
you could
won
stop,
a playoff series,
it, that's right.
right? What, 2 years ago, I think it was?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe if you could stop someone defensively ever,
yeah.
or if you have anyone in the net who can stop someone ever,
mm-hmm.
then they'll actually win. I don't mm-hmm. blame – listen – Matthews is the least
no.
of the Maple Leafs' problems.
It's true.
He is the least of their issues.
People were on Adam Fox last night and some of the other guys, maybe some defensively. Not Slavin. That Slavin dude is insane.
Yes.
He is he's like the perfect player.
He is.
They're going on and on about how he's won two Lady Bings, which you wouldn't normally even want in a defenseman, and yet he just doesn't take penalties. And he's just solid. He just
Special.
Shuts down studs on the other team. Like, that's a guy that is easy to root for Team USA. Let's go to Paul in Plymouth. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. That had to be one of the worst renditions of O Canada I've ever heard.
It was awful.
And it was just terrible. And in comparison, you know, the U.S. our national anthem, the Boston Pops, and man, that girl could sing.
Yes.
I don't know who she was, but she could really belt it out. And another thing, too, guys, I'm surprised that the goalie for Canada, Bennington, I'm surprised he didn't get, like, MVP or you know, something like that, because that game should have been over at about the 3-4-5 minute mark, because he absolutely
Dumb.
To the U.S. big-time saves.
Yeah, he was insane. And a lot of people were wondering – I mean, he made the team, and you're like, okay, whatever. You have, like, three goalies on the team, but they didn't think he was going to be the starter, and he played every game. Mm. Like, the other teams all used at least two goalies, I think, or maybe just two goalies, right? Because, like, Swayman didn't play. But Team USA used two goalies. I think Finland and Sweden used two goalies. Canada just rolled Binnington out the whole time.
Why wouldn't you?
And yeah, seriously, the guy was fantastic. All right, let's go to Curly in Boston. What's going on, Curly?
Hey, guys, I can't believe we lost that game tonight, but as usual, we get owned by Canada like 90% of the time when we play, guys.
Yeah.
We get owned by them. You know what? It's their game, guys. We just have to admit it.
Yeah, it's closer now, though, and I don't know if you can necessarily say that anymore. I mean,
they beat them last week.
Yeah, not just that.
The USA beat them last week when the game didn't mean anything. Last night was the biggest game. Last night was the final.
It's true.
I mean, what's going on here? Look, we don't have a Connor McDavid. We don't have a Sidney Crosby. We don't have a Cale Makar. We don't have a Nathan McKinnon. What do we have? We have Auston Matthews. He disappears in every big game. He goes goes into the corner. He goes get a guy to make it a 3-on-1, and we leave the best player in the world, Connor McJesus, all alone in the slot. Guys, we don't know how to play hockey, man. All we do is we talk a big game. We go out there, Matthew Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk. Matthew was a selfish move, guys. He was hurt. We didn't play Kyle Connor because we paid Matthew Tkachuk for 6 minutes, guys. Our arrogance is getting the best of us. We have to stop. We have to stop with this 51st state garbage. Last night we were owned, guys. We were the 11th province of Canada.
They lost in overtime.
Yeah, but the owning
they
lost
in overtime. They beat them in Montreal,
that's where
and
I'm
then they lost in overtime.
Yeah, I'm having the issue with
they
it.
They were right
they,
there,
they
man.
They own us. No, they don't.
They don't. I mean, if you want to take the history of international competition, it's lopsided in favor of Canada.
Sure.
That's why we keep showing the 1996 World Cup highlights.
That's right.
And whatever else the other game was. Like, it hasn't happened a lot of times.
My takeaway
was how even it was. I think P.K. Subban even said that during one of the intermissions.
Yes.
They're like, what's your take? He's like, these teams are like identical.
Yeah.
Spider-Man meme. Bang. These are the same teams.
Listen, Curly, you got to do what I
like the passion, though.
I think Curly needs to take a page out of my book here. I got this. I used to be like Curly.
You used to be like Curly.
You know what changed it?
No, well, I would love to know.
Gambling. What's the first thing I said to you?
Make it worse.
What's the first thing I said to you?
You bet on Canada.
I'm with U.S.
Yeah.
But I bet on Canada, and it's an emotional hedge, Curly.
Yeah.
Curly, you're too emotional.
Yeah, we
have to stop with this 51st state garbage.
He was into it. I appreciate Curly calling in. We've never heard from Curly. I don't think ever, right?
Shout-outs to Curly, man.
First timer.
We might not after that.
Yeah, he might be. We have to check in on Curly.
Might
maybe.
Be a wellness check.
A wellness check on Curly.
Sounded like his dog was getting concerned at the end.
Yeah, he's like, dude, please hang up. So anyway, if you want to call in like Curly, if you want to voice your displeasure, you can at 617-779-7937. Speaking of gambling, because Travis is here, I want to get some best bets for the weekend. I want to find some stuff. We got hockey regular season is back. We got NBA. We got college hoops, whatever else is in there. Right. I want some winners for the weekend. So we'll get to that. It's Jones and Keefe with Travis Thomas in for Jones here on WEEI. All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Travis Thomas in for Jones today. Jones so distraught after the Team USA lost to Canada last night. He can't even show up to work today. But what are we betting on this weekend, Travis? Because Celtics, they returned from the All-Star break last night. Bruins will return from the Four Nations break this weekend. Of course, college basketball ramping up final couple weeks of the regular season. What are you looking at this weekend?
Yes.
All of it, please.
I'll tell you my favorite bet that I'm waiting to come online now.
Yep.
Tonight, the Bucks are in D.C. taking on the Wizards.
All right, I'm listening.
And I am just waiting for Kyle Kuzma player props to hit because I am betting everything over. I think he's going to light that team up. Yeah, he's going to light that team up.
That team
is trash.
Yeah.
He was the lone bright spot on that team.
Yep.
The Bucks were smart to get him because they needed a third option, and now we see Bobby Portis getting suspended for PEDs. So I think Kuzma's going to go off. He just had a double-double last night. So this is a second leg of a back-to-back. So I don't know if he's not going to play tonight or if they're just waiting to put his player props out. He didn't get hurt or anything. He had 19 points, 13 boards last night against the Timberwolves. So whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Player points, props, Kuzma. Rebounds, assists, you name it, I'm betting the over. That's going to be my favorite play of the night. And then all weekend, I'm just involved in anything. I mean, I'll probably bet. You know, you look at the Celtics against the Knicks this season, they have absolutely owned them. Blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at the Celtics at home and I'll lay whatever points.
Okay.
I just don't think the Knicks match up well against them. And that's big trouble for the Knicks, who we know as you get closer to the postseason, they start to fall apart at the seams because they run their players into the ground.
Celtics have been a tough team for me to bet this year when I start to mix in some of the props because you don't know what night it's going to be a Tatum scoring night or there's games where they win big and then he could sit in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And so like last night, for example, I felt great about Celtics -7.5, but then I was looking for something else and I was like, do I go Tatum points? I ended up going with, and this is a great one. I went with Derek White points and assists over 18.5. Of course he landed on 18.
Yeah.
So you lose that. But like, how have you gone about betting like Tatum or Brown props? Because on a night-to-night basis, it can be tough to know when it's going to be their night.
I don't.
Okay.
I'll typically, with Celtics games, I'll bet totals sometimes, but generally, this season, I've just been laying a lot of points. Unless it's a team that I think is going to hang in there. I'll tell you a good bet
Plus, they've been great on the road.
That's right.
They're such a good road team.
The Thunder came. I think that game was in Boston. Thunder came in here and beat them. I had the Thunder to cover in that game, so that was a good bet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just picked my spots. I mean, the Celtics, much like the personality of the team, it's not a lot of fun to bet on them either. They're just a boring team to bet on. They're kind of a boring team in general.
Yeah, they take and make a lot of threes. Last night, the threes were back in a big way. They were 24 of 54 from three, and this one was never really close. And I keep waiting for the Sixers to just shut down Joel Embiid and that whole experience. The Sixers are 15 games under 500.
Wow.
And yet you look at their starting lineup, it's Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey. Like, that should be a good trio. Not like a – I wouldn't call that like a championship trio, but that's three guys that are all-star caliber players, and they have been a mess. And Embiid, like, got to shut it down.
Well, that's because only one out of the three has played in Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. Paul George has been in and out of the lineup and inconsistent when he is in it, and Embiid's a mess, as you said. So – it just doesn't work there in Philly.
No.
But it's sort of, they made their own bed, though, right? You gave Embiid all the money in the world.
Yeah,
you gave Paul George all the money in the world. And neither one of them have ever, when have either one of them been dependable?
No, they aren't. Paul George had a great year with Oklahoma City that one year, a few years back. But as far as, like, playoffs are concerned, not existed. They probably need to move on from Joel Embiid, don't you think? They're not winning with him.
Yes. And who's taking that contract?
See, I don't know.
No one.
The guy doesn't play. The guy can't play back-to-backs. He's pretty much broken down because he had a stretch. When was he the MVP? 3 years ago? 2 years ago? Like, it wasn't that long ago. He was the best player in the league. But, yeah, he has really fallen apart. It's great as a Celtics fan to watch Philly just implode and they can't get out of their own way. But the Celtics seem to be, even though they're way off of last year's pace as far as, like, wins in the regular season, you know, a night like last night, and the couple of games they played right before the All-Star break, you still feel pretty good about this team. Issues here and there. Maybe they haven't been the most consistent. The home struggles are kind of like maybe the most puzzling thing about this team.
Yeah.
But I'm still back to the point where, like, who's going to beat them in a seven-game series?
Yeah, especially in the East. It's funny.
You
bring up the Sixers. Let's, you know, turn back the clock a little bit to the offseason where the Sixers were loading up. The Knicks were loading up, all these teams, and we're like, okay, it's going to be a little more challenging. And listen, every time the Celtics have seen the Knicks, it's been bad things for the Knicks. We just talked about how much of a mess the Sixers are. I don't think either one of us, it sounds like, thinks that they're even going to make the playoffs.
They're out. Yeah, they're not a top 10 team in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference stinks.
That's right. They're fighting for a play-in game.
Right.
And they may not get there.
No.
You know, and you look – okay, you got to give Cleveland props. I mean, the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I like the Cavs.
That's a deep team.
Yep.
They play defense. They're well coached in Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
They have stars. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland is an ascending star. But that ain't Tatum. That ain't Brown.
No.
That ain't Porzingis. That ain't White.
No, in like a competitive year, that'd be a really tough first round matchup or like maybe like a second round matchup. Not the team that you're likely to face in the conference.
Right.
Championship.
The other teams in the East, it feels like empty calories.
It does.
Pacers.
Yeah.
Do you really think the Pistons are going to get there? I don't.
No.
Now, I'll give you one, though.
Who do you got?
Giannis and Dame together are formidable.
They got Doc Rivers, though.
They have Doc Rivers. And,
so I'm out on them.
And their third piece.
I got to get my larynx fixed.
Their third piece with Kuzma's like,
that's
tough. A team that I could see. If I told you right now, Bucks, Cavaliers, and the Bucks knocked off the Cavs to go to the Eastern Conference Finals to play the Celtics. You wouldn't be shocked.
No, you wouldn't be shocked. And I guess if they are the if they make it that far, then maybe they put it together.
Yes,
you know, I guess you
that's
could say
a team
that.
I could see getting there, but they're not beating the Celtics either.
It's unlikely. All right, we'll turn our attention to the Red Sox because it's been a hell of a week down in Fort Myers. Rafael Devers says he won't move off of third base. Tristan Casas says he shouldn't move off of third base and that Bregman should play second.
God.
And also, Casas said the young guys shouldn't make the roster. So we'll talk some Sox. You can join us at 617-779-7937. Travis Thomas is in for Jones. It's Jones and Keefe, WEEI.